Let's all turn to John chapter 10, verse 27. We have been talking here for some time. Anybody else needs a Bible, hold your hand up. We'll see to it you get a Bible. Sorry, we didn't go through that today. There we go. John chapter 10, verse 27. We've been talking about prayer. In fact, we've spent months literally speaking about prayer. Because I believe prayer has been bad-mouthed. It's certainly been bad demonstrated. We've made the statement a lot of times. I grew up in a church. I remember the night my dad was born again. And I want you to know, all things were made new when my dad was born again. We changed the way we did things when he got born again. Things changed around our house. And one of the things we began to do is we began to go to meetings. We went to church. And, you know, we have children's church now. I notice this family likes their children with them. We like that too. Praise God. In fact, everybody should do that from time to time. Children should stay in service and learn. That's the way I grew up. We had a Sunday school early in the morning, but boy, I'll tell you what, when it came to be church time, we all sat together. But I got to be perfectly honest with you, I didn't enjoy all the church. And especially, I didn't enjoy the one they call prayer meeting. Anybody been to prayer meeting? Some of them are good, but some of them aren't so good. Prayer meeting. In the Catholic Church, if you commit a sin, you go to a place they call a confessional. Any of you here Roman Catholic or been Roman Catholic, brought up around them? Did you ever go to confession? My mother-in-law told me the first time that she did her confession, she said, I made up sins because I didn't know anything I'd done. So she said, I made something up so I wouldn't be out of... So, in other words, she lied to confess. So what? And then she had something to confess, but she didn't confess that one. But you know, praying is a part of the penance that is given to people. When they confess a sin, quite often, the priest will say, well, you need to do some acts of contrition. And you need to say so many Our Fathers. And the Our Father is the pattern for the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. The pattern. Not the prayer, but a pattern for it. But what does that do when you have to say a prayer to make up for something you did wrong? It's punishment. And so what does that do to prayer? Prayer suddenly becomes a burden. But they also say the Hail Marys and all of those things that most Protestants are familiar with. But unfortunately, it's not just the Catholics that do this. And people get into a place, you know, where they're all... I think most people are somewhat guilt-ridden by not praying enough. Anybody here? I don't pray enough. Now I want to ask you something. How much is enough? How much is enough? How much prayer is enough prayer? Well, the Bible has an answer, doesn't it?
Pray without ceasing.
Pray without ceasing. Continually. Continually. Anybody pray enough? No, we don't. So we have guilt about it, and consequently, people do funny things when they have guilt. They do what Adam and Eve did. When Adam and Eve had guilt, what did they do? Huh? They hide. They hide. They hid in the trees and the bushes. We hide in activities. We hide in other things, but we don't do anything. Come on in. Make yourselves at home. Praise God. You're welcome. We instead of running to God, we run from Him. And it's that way with prayer. And so I've been concerned about prayer for a long time. And so I taught a whole series called Delightful Prayer. Prayer's a delight. Prayer's a delight. And one of the things you need to learn is what prayer is. What is prayer? Talking with, communicating with God. The Bible says in Exodus that God tells us that there's a place to meet with Him beneath the wings of the cherubim, which is the cover of the kapora, or the kapora of the Ark of the Covenant. The covering of the Ark of the Covenant. A place for us to meet together with God. Now, a prayer meeting needs to be something more than just beads, prayer lists, requests. In fact, the Bible says there's different kinds of prayer. The Bible says pray always with all kinds of prayer. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Holy Ghost. Pray always. So if we're praying always, there's got to be something different than the way I was brought up thinking about prayer. And the thing that turned me off about prayer was I never could do enough of it, and pretty soon, and you'd see if this is right, pretty soon, even if you get started good, you come into a place where you're saying the same thing over and over again, and you find yourself convicted for vain repetition. So what's the answer? Well, the answer is there's something different. The psalmist in Psalm chapter 1 said, Asherei ha'ish asher halak ba'atsat resha'im. Is that right, Sandy? You don't know anymore? I was going to have you complete it. Blessed is the man who walks not after the counsel of the ungodly, nor after the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is what? Delight. His delight. What does delight look like?
Joy.
That's why they name some of those places Dairy Delight. You know what a Dairy Delight looks like? They have Dairy Queens, and we got a Dairy King. But they're all delightful, aren't they? You know, I kind of see it. You know, when I'm looking around here, I see what looks like what I would think maybe delight would look like. Everybody's got a kind of a pleasant expression on their face. That's what we ought to get when we think about prayer. And in His law doth He meditate day and night. The Bible says His delight is in the Torah of God, the instructions of God. And in His Torah, His instruction, not law, in His Torah, He doth meditate. Say meditate. Say meditate again. Would you be surprised to know that if you meditate right, you're praying? Meditation, not TM. We had a pastor here that wrote his master's thesis on transcendental meditation. And, you know, if you know anything about it, that's the meditation where you try to empty yourself and stare at a wall. But there is a meditation where we are filling ourselves with God's Word. And I believe with all my heart that when you begin to pray along that line, you begin to take His Word. And so we began to look at that prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. And He said, Hallowed be Thy name, holy, separate, sanctified is Your name. And we began to think about His name, Yahweh, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, which is the name for God that shows that He's a covenant-keeping God. He's a grace-giving God. He's a merciful God. He's a God that keeps covenant and shows mercy unto His children who walk before Him unto 1,000 generations. That was in last week's Torah portion, for those of you that read it. For 1,000 generations. You begin to think about a God like that. And everything he did in his name, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, had to do with covenant. And he begins to give us his names. Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, Tzidkenu, I'll say Yahweh, Makadesh, Yahweh Shama, Yahweh Shalom, Yahweh Rafaka, Yahweh Yira, Yahweh Nisi, and finally, Yahweh Roi. Names. God our righteousness, God who sanctifies us, God who is present, God who is Shalom. Shalom means nothing missing, nothing broken. Doesn't just mean peace. Our healer, our provider, our banner, or our victory. And finally, the one that covers them all, our shepherd. Our shepherd. So we began to think about that. And we began to go about prayer in a different way. And I made up prayer scriptures. Things that you could look at and remember who God is. And begin to hide those scriptures in your heart. So that you could come and say, Holy is your name, Yahweh Tzidkenu. Yes, you are my righteousness. You, O Lord, became sin, though you knew no sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God. We began to look at them like that and meditating the Word of God. So we went through all of that, and I believe it certainly changed my way of praying, and it delights me to pray that way because I'm going over it. I've got interactive prayer going. Anybody like interactive things? How many of you have interactive computer things? Got some of those? Yeah, some interactive stuff. Did you know those are the most popular? And one of the reasons we're having a hard time teaching children anymore the way we used to is because everything is totally interactive anymore. You almost got to have a laser show to teach children anymore. It's sad. They can't sit still anymore. They're overloaded. And so are you. Everything is done with so much. Did you ever notice the newscast on the TV? I remember when newscast was a guy sitting up in front behind a desk and reading the news. Well, in a way, that's what they still do. But did you ever notice the background behind is moving? And did you ever notice there's a banner across the bottom that's always moving? People are demanding more. Well, I find that we shouldn't have all of that, and yet there's some parts of it that we need to get. When we come to God, we should come with expectancy. And so we got into a part that God is not only a hearing God, but God is also a speaking God. And God wants us to hear. Now, if you'll read with me from John 10:27, let's read that out loud together from the screen. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Without thinking too long, how many sheep do we have with us today? Could I see the hands of the sheep? If you're a sheep, if you're born again. And the Bible says, if you're a sheep, you hear His voice. Now, in practice, how many of you say, I hear clearly all the time? That's what we're working on at this point in time, is to become hearing Christians, to have hearing ears. Ears that hear what our Father says. We've gone through a great detail how to speak to God and speak His Word and talk His Word and claim His promises. But you know, there's more to prayer than that. There's that part where I listen for Him. Again, I don't go back to a wall and stare at it to hear God. I want to hear God while I'm talking to Barbara in conversation. I want to be able to hear God. Why? Because she may need to hear what he has to say. And vice versa. I want her to hear from God because I may need to hear what Barbara has to say. And I believe this is the purpose of the congregation. That we'll hear from God. That we will talk to God, but we'll hear back from Him. We'll share that with one another. And so that a congregation, maybe in its ideal sense, would quit being just people who are spectators and somebody else who we call a minister. Are you listening to me? Can y'all read those signs up on the beam there? What does that say? Are there any saints here today? How many saints are here? Saints are born again people. Born again people. People that have made Yeshua, Jesus, the Lord of their life. That's every one of them supposed to be a minister. Different ways. Some teach, some preach. But everybody's a minister. And the Bible tells that when we come together, one would have a prophecy, one would have a tongue, one would have this, one would have that, an exhortation. You see? So everybody could become somehow involved without it ever becoming confusing if we're all hearing. We have to hear, don't we? We have to hear. So my sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me. That tells me that God does speak. And that God doesn't just want me to hear, He says, I will. He obviously wants me to. Luke 8:18 says, so be sure to pay attention to what you hear. Reading this from the New Living Translation. Be sure to pay attention to what you hear. To those who are open to my teaching, more understanding will be given. How many have found that to be true in your life? The more you hear and the more you read and the more you go through what He's saying, you understand more. But if you're not listening, to those who are not listening, even what they think they have will be taken from them. That's not a place you want to be. So we said, as we were talking about this, that God has aids to hearing, or supernatural hearing aids. And this is a supernatural hearing aid that we talked about, which was the Word of God. The Word of God is an aid to our hearing. Getting to know what God sounds like. You may have to go back online and listen to these messages. They're all at www.livingwordcf.org. And you can listen to the last messages. We talked about how the Word of God is an aid to our hearing. The things that it does. How it helps us to tune our ears. Our ears become attuned to the same pitch that God speaks. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? See, there's different frequencies around us. Some of them are able to be heard by humans. But the natural man, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2:14, I believe it is, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned or spiritually tuned. So we need to change, and the Word of God changes our channel, changes our frequency, our level of frequency. So the Word of God is an aid to hearing, and we talked about how there's a perfect balance of diet in the Word of God for us. Last week we looked at a different part. We looked at how the Holy Spirit is necessary for us to hear from God. We have to have the Holy Spirit working in our lives. In Genesis 2:7, the Bible says, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He became alive. And we've talked about Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve walked with God. They talked with God. The Bible said they talked with Him in the, your King James says, in the cool of the day. Many other translations say something similar. The word there for cool is ruach. Ruach is a word for spirit. They spoke to Him spiritually. They could sense His breath. But they had perfect, listen to me now, they had perfect communication with God. Think about that. Perfect communication. What happened? The ideal, perfect situation wasn't enough for them. They went for illegal knowledge with the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and suddenly the whole thing became corrupted. And that sin, which was upon them, wrecked their ability to hear from God clearly. It left them in a state and was passed on to all of their descendants. So that man went around with a deaf ear. He couldn't hear. He wasn't able to understand. Those that had been created for God, the Bible says, We're created for Him and by Him. For His pleasure we are and were created. We were created to have life. We were created to walk in His light. We were created for communion. Say communion. Now, communion's not that time when you get the little cracker and the wine. Communion is what we're talking about when we talk about delightful prayer. We were created for that. We were created to be able to walk with Daddy God. Reach up and grab His hand and walk along. Don't you love that? Don't you love that when you see a dad or a mom taking a little kid and they're walking along? Not when they're dragging them. Come on, you know. But when they're just walking and doing what they do. Isn't that neat? That's a blessing. A big old friend of mine, 6'4" guy, big, rough, talking. He murdered the King's English all the time. But he said one morning, he said, I just driving my truck. And he said, I said, Lord, I sure love You. And he said, the Holy Spirit began to speak to my heart. And he said, you remember how your boys used to come up to you and climb up in your lap, rub the side of your face and say, I love you, Daddy? He said, yeah, I remember that, Lord. Lord says, I like that too. That's the kind of talk I'm talking about, where we just have a loving relationship. And you know, it's not too long that you're going to watch a father-son and a mother-daughter, or vice versa, however they're mixed up. And you watch them walking and they're talking, and you're going to hear pretty quick, why? Why? I believe that Adam and Eve had a lot of whys for God. How? How'd you do that, Lord? How'd this all come to be? How's this all going to work? But God talked to them, but they lost that, you see. They lost that. And in this perfect setting of relationship with God, we had corruption come out, and we have the what Ezekiel 12:2 says, Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see, and they see not. This is the world today, people. This is people without God. They have eyes to see, but they see not. And unfortunately, many Christians come to this because they've lost their tone deaf to God. They have eyes to see, but they don't see. And they have ears to hear, and they hear not. For they are a rebellious house, the Scripture says. Rebellious. We talked about that last week. I won't talk about it much, except to tell you that rebelliousness is as the sin of witchcraft. The Bible says you shall not suffer a witch to live. It's a serious, serious offense. Right? Amen. What's happened is people have become spiritually deaf. Spiritually deaf to the Word of God. Spiritually deaf to the voice of the Spirit. But Yeshua turned this all around, didn't He? Jesus changed it all, didn't He? When Jesus came, He changed us spirit, soul, and body. Our spirit is the part of us that's just like God. God created us in His likeness and in His image. Our spirit's just like God. And when Adam and Eve sinned, immediately the spirit part of them died. And what death really means is, here's the God and man together. When He died, they became separated. Separation is death. The separation from God. The soul and the body then began to suffer the effects of the fall, didn't they? Jesus came and died, gave His life, became sin, paid the penalty for our sin, so that we, through confessing with our mouth that Jesus is Yahweh, that He's God, that He's Lord, and believing in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, the Bible says you'd be saved. That simply. That simply. We had a man come in here one night, began to talk and tell us about his testimony, and he said, he was telling about how his family had fallen apart and everything was just a mess, and he said, I was ready to commit suicide. And he said, driving home from work one night, I believe he was in the car. I may have somebody else's testimony. It doesn't make any difference where he was. But he said, I stopped for just a moment and said, Jesus, help. And he marked that as the moment when he was born again. Now, it doesn't fit all of our words that we say, but somehow God knew that that was the heart of what he was saying. He was born again in a moment. Now, later on, he went through all the confession and all of that, but nevertheless, that was what turned his life around. Jesus said, Jesus, help, help. So God brought him back. God brought him back. I want to look now at what happened to man in this fall time. Genesis 11 is a period of the fall period. It's after they came out of the ark. After mankind came out of the ark, then Ham, Shem, and Japheth began to propagate the earth. And that was the command of God, that they were supposed to propagate and spread out in the earth. Does anybody know what they did? They all settled in a place called Shinar, I believe it was. And we began to read about a man named Nimrod. How many of you know Nimrod? People nowadays, if they want to say something bad about somebody, they call him a Nimrod, right? Well, I got news for you. Nimrod was a bad guy. The Bible said he was a hunter. But you know what he hunted? Does anybody know what Nimrod hunted? Men. Nimrod was a man hunter. And he brought all glory to himself. And he became the first, I guess you would say, the first dictator. And with all these people, then they began to say things like, let's make a name for ourselves. And they began to build a tower that would reach up to the heavens. Some people say it was an astrological observatory. I don't know what it really was, but they began to build this. And the scripture talks about them in Genesis 11. Let's read that if we could. Genesis chapter 11, it says, the whole earth was what... Let's just follow along. I'll read the narrative here from the screen today. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make a name, lest we be scattered. What were they supposed to, what did God tell them to do? Fill the whole earth. He said, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. And they have all one language. Now think of this. This has got to be a pretty sizable population again now. They all spoke the same language. There was unity of language. I believe it was the same language God gave to Adam. And obviously, I believe it was Hebrew. I don't believe there's any doubt about it. He said, the people's one and they all have one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down and there confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. What happened after that? Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. I want to tell you that language is an important thing. And we're still talking about hearing from God and the hearing aid of having the Holy Spirit help us to hear from God. Language is powerful. They had one language. And in that one language, verse 6 says, they had great power. God even said nothing would be restrained from them with their unity that came out of their language. So he diversified. He gave them a multitude of languages. Some say thousands. I believe it was 70 languages. I believe there's 70 nations. but 70 languages at least that he gave them. And by doing that, he divided them. They couldn't understand each other anymore, and they began to scatter in verse 7. And for generations, this group of people in all these different languages were filled with sin, with sorrow, with guilt, with confusion, and estrangement from God, weren't they? But Yeshua came to undo what the first Adam had done, right? And to restore all things. In Romans 5:14, the Bible says, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come." And the 17th verse says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." I'll just read some more scripture so that you get the basis for all of this. 1 Corinthians 15, 21 and 22. "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead." Verse 22, "As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." And then that thought is culminated in verse 45, which says, "And so it is written," and we already read this from Genesis 2:7, "the first man, Adam, was made a living soul." But in 1 Corinthians 15:45, it says, "And the last Adam was made a quickening spirit." So for thousands of years, the language that God had given Adam remains shattered and scattered. When did God restore that? When did Jesus make that, change that thing? Well, it happened at a time called Shavuot. Who knows about Shavuot? Anybody know about Shavuot? What is Shavuot? The Feast of Weeks. What else is it called? Pentecost. Pentecost. The Feast of Pentecost. 50. Pentecost. What happened at Pentecost or at Shavuot? Well, there were two things that happened. The first thing that happened on the first Shavuot, God gave the children of Israel who were standing at the foot of Sinai the 10 words and spoke to them His Torah. Years later, after all this time that we're talking about, because now they were scattered, languages were scattered. Years later, on this same feast of God, and God says they're His feasts. What happened on that day? Can any of you quote it? That's right, the giving of the Holy Spirit. By giving a language whereby one may communicate with Him spirit to spirit, God began to restore. To restore. By giving a language where people can speak spirit to spirit. Now I know most of you have heard me talk about speaking in tongues. Some of you may say, "Oh, not again." But I want to tell you, it's time. God's beginning to do something in this last days where He's telling people that too many of us have been sitting around and waiting and waiting and waiting and have done nothing with this. And it's time, because the time is short. And God, who said that you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you and you shall be my witnesses, is the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. And so again today, I want to talk to you about this speaking in other tongues. God gave a language at Pentecost. A language called praying in other tongues. Now, when we begin to talk about it, how many of you know there's a certain divisiveness among the teachings about tongues? Anybody know that? How many of you have ever been turned off by tongues? Or somebody talking about it? Well, I want to tell you what tongues are not. Tongues are not supposed to be divisive. They're supposed to bring back together. Why would they be divisive? The devil hates them. The devil hates tongues because, remember, this is a language that can talk to God spirit to spirit, bypassing the intellect of man. Praying in tongues is not necessary to be saved. I want to get that out really quickly, because there's been erroneous teaching, and that's one of the reasons it's so divisive. People say, well, you know, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. Well, that's a lie. How do you get saved? Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. Doesn't say anything about to be saved, you would speak in other tongues. We're talking about after you're saved. After you're born again. Second thing, tongues are not, is there not, to make one believer superior to another. We don't believe that, we don't practice that. Has nothing to do with superiority. God says, you shall receive power. Let's look at it about us. Let's just look at it as individuals. If I'm born again, I'm going to heaven. But I want to be what God says I'm going to be too while I'm here on this earth. How about you? And the Bible says you'll receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you'll be witnesses of me in Jerusalem and Judea and all Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's what I want. I want to be a witness of Him. We talked about it this morning. That's our call. That's the reason we're here today, people. Jesus is coming soon. He could have come already if He wasn't wanting to get more people into the kingdom, right? That's right, isn't it, Betty? So tongues don't make us superior to one another, but what they will do is increase our effectiveness as individual believers. Amen? Amen. Number three, tongues are not a cure-all. They don't do everything. It's just one of the things that God has given. One of the gifts that God has given to the children. So when we talk about praying in other tongues, it has its place, but it doesn't do everything. We tell the story often around here because the story was told about us. At one time, someone asked someone in the town here about this church. They wanted to know about coming to this church, and they asked someone in the town about it, and someone said, well, I don't believe you want to go there. And the reason was they do the entire service in other tongues. Have you enjoyed the tongues today, people? Well, it's never been true. In fact, could I even say I'd like to hear them more than we hear them around here? Amen? Because they have a tremendous place. But they do not do everything. They do not do away with the need for words of knowledge and words of wisdom and gifts of healings. They don't do away with other gifts of the Spirit. But they have a place, a powerful place. And especially as God gave them to each believer as a devotional gift. Remember, we're talking about delightful prayer. Being able to talk to God spirit to spirit. Communicate with Him on a level where it's no longer drudgery. And, oh, I've got to pray. I haven't prayed yet today. Oh, my goodness, I haven't prayed all week. See what I'm talking about? We're talking about a change in our whole being where we begin to see that this is an opportunity for our spirit to communicate with God. So what is praying in tongues then? It's the, listen to this now, you might even want to write it down. It's intimate communion that was once enjoyed by Adam and Eve before the fall. Why do we need tongues? Because the natural mind, the natural man, cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. And you can't receive things through your mind. You receive things from God through your spirit. See, I don't even know how to divide it. But God does. And His Word does. It was lost in the fall, and that was passed on to all of us. So that you could say that all of us were really spiritually stillborn. Right? When we were born, we were stillborn. Now, I'm not going to get into the doctrine right now, but I will just say that I do believe that little babies go right to heaven when they die, up to an age of accountability. But they will all, as they live on, need to be born again, won't they? Everyone needs to be born again. So we were left with a reliance on our mind, our will, and our emotions. And that's a bad place to be. What do you know about your mind? And I'm not just talking to the ladies. I'm talking to all of you. What do you know about your mind? We change it a lot, don't we? We change our minds. We change them. Our emotions go up and down like a roller coaster, don't they? We have all kinds of emotional problems. That's natural. But we're not looking at the natural now. We don't want to have to stay that way. When Yeshua was revealed, and when He's revealed to us, and we receive Him by faith, the life of God then abides in man. And on Shavuot, to a group of believers who had received Him as their Savior, He then endued them with power from on high. On the day of Pentecost, God reinstituted in believers the language of the Spirit. Now, if you look clear back and connect this with the language that Adam and Eve spoke to God. Now, I'm not saying that all tongues are Hebrew. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying that the language of the Spirit is a language that can speak to God, Spirit to Spirit. We're going to finish with these words out of Acts today. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come. Now, I want you to think of this in regard to the fact that the baptism with the Holy Spirit, immersion in the Spirit of God, and speaking with other tongues has a connection to what Adam and Eve had in the garden and has a tremendous value to us as a supernatural hearing aid. It opens up our ears, our spiritual ears, so that we're no longer those that have ears but hear not, but we will be those that have ears that can hear plainly. You see, if I don't get filled and speak with other tongues, can I still hear? Yes, but don't you want to hear better? I mean, why would you want less than what God has promised? That's my question to you today. So when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. First verse of Acts chapter 2. Second verse, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Verse 4, and they were all filled. Who was there? Who's the all they're talking about? I wonder if anybody knows who was there that day. Bible names a lot of them. Tells us who they were. How many were there? Can anybody tell me that? 120 were together at this beginning, right here. Now, you're right about the thousands. It comes up. But it's not yet. 120 of them were filled. And the mother of Jesus, Mary, was there that day. And all of His apostles and the disciples that had been following Him closely were all there that day. And they were all, say all, they were all. I think it's important to get all the words in. And one of the important words here is all. It just wasn't a few of them got filled. They were all filled. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they all would still be in force here. They all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Well, if the Holy Spirit was giving utterance, wouldn't you want to say what He was saying? I would. Would you care what it sounded like? What if it bypassed your intellect? What if it went beyond your ability, the natural man ability to understand? Would that stop you? It shouldn't. It shouldn't. All you've got to be careful of is who you're asking to give it to you. Because the Bible says if you ask your Father in heaven for bread, would He give you a rock? Actually, He doesn't say that. He says, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, which one of you? If your child asks you for bread, would you give him a rock? I think not. If he asks you for an egg, Would you give him a scorpion? So he goes on and follows that. So he said, so if you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now you may say, well, I believe this is talking about salvation. But an honest reading will show you this is talking about something happened to them after they were saved. So they were filled. And this believing audience, this believing group could now communicate not only with their mind and their emotions, but directly to God in the Spirit. And here's the kicker on it. Their mind couldn't get in the way to foul things up. Have you ever, as you've been praying for something, just stopped and said for a second, I don't know how to pray about this. I don't know how to pray about it. Why? Because you recognize the inability of your mind to comprehend all of the various possibilities. That's why God didn't give us the power to control the weather. What if I could just pray and control the weather? I say, I want sun today, Lord. I'll have sun all the time. Sun, that's all we're going to have from now on. Even in the winter up here, sun. What would be the result of that kind of prayer? Huh?
Not good.
Lake Granby would be dry. Denver wouldn't know what to do without all of our water, right? You see, my natural man looks out for my natural self. But the Spirit of God on the inside of me will pray things that I would never think to pray. And then he'll oftentimes show it to me through the Spirit into my natural man, and I'll begin to speak the same thing out in the natural. So I pray with the Spirit and I pray with the understanding also. Acts 2:8 says that there were a group of people sitting around, and it tells you about where all these people came from. All these various nations that had been scattered. You remember the scattering that happened in Genesis 11? Now we see a group of nations coming back together. All these scattered people that have been scattered out to different places. And they said, they're speaking in this language, this language, this language, this language. They're speaking in all these languages. And now we hear every man in our own language, wherein we were born. And verse 11 says, we do hear them speak, what? We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. They didn't know what to think about it. Some began to say they're drunk. That's right. That's what the natural man will do anytime he sees something he doesn't understand. Well, these are drunk. Peter stood up in the midst of them and began to tell them. In fact, he preached an eloquent sermon on the spot, one that could not have been written. Had to come right out of his spirit, didn't it? He'd been speaking in tongues. I believe that's where it came from, was right out of those tongues that he had been speaking. He begins to say, says, Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted his voice and said unto him, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto these words. Verse 15, for these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in these last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servant and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. A good part of this, he's quoting right out of Joel chapter 2. But he finishes it up with this, these words, verse 39, not the final words, but toward the end of it, he says, for the promise, verse 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. A little bit ago I asked about the number of saints that were here. How did you get to be a saint? God called you, didn't He? In fact, the Bible says we're called to be saints. We're called to be separated, called to be sanctified. Who's He talking to? Just what I said this morning, God's willing that everybody comes to this. It's God's plan. All of us. Every person, every man, every woman, every believer certainly needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the purpose of it is that you will be a witness. And if you're a witness now, you'll be a superior witness when you're filled. Amen? It's for everybody. And so today, after speaking of this one time again, we talk about it periodically around here because we believe this is the Word of God. This is the plan for us. Some people say, but I asked the Lord once and nothing happened. Does that mean that God turns you down? Or does it mean that you just haven't received all of His promises yet? How many of you have received all the rest of His promises? No, there are promises that are left. But the Bible says we should not leave them unclaimed. We should receive. And I believe it's time for everyone, all of us, every believer in Jesus Christ to come to the place where they decide, do I believe this or don't I? Do I believe this is the Word of God or don't I? Am I going to believe it and act upon it? Do you remember on Friday night we talked about that? That it's one thing to say it's so, but it's another thing to put action with it, to begin to believe it, to actively seek, to actively draw, to begin to say what God says. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. I believe without any doubt that when a man speaks in another tongue, he's opening his ears to be a hearer of the Word, to hear what God says, to hear what He's saying at that moment. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 30 that you shall hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. When you turn to the left hand or the right hand, this is the way. Walk ye in it. I don't want to miss God anymore. I don't want you to miss Him. I don't want you to miss the intimacy that is ours. I believe it's time to receive the restoration that was given through the blood of Jesus to bring all men unto Himself. The promise, say it with me, the promise. The promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off. That's everyone, isn't it? All that are afar off. The promise is for everyone, every man, every woman, every child. The promise, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. You say, yes, but Pastor, he's talking about salvation. Yes, and the fullness of salvation. To be filled with the Spirit of God. To be filled with the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit. Father, I ask you today in the name of Yeshua that you will touch the hearts of every person that is in this place today. Father, if you, if there's one here, if there are many here that have, for one reason or another, been held back on receiving the fullness of the Spirit. I pray, Father, this day that you'll quicken their hearts. Give revelation knowledge right now in the name of Jesus. Let it flow into every heart and every mind so that an understanding can be had of this, so that the enemy will in no way be able to come in and steal this because of a lack of understanding. But they'll have an understanding of what you've restored to us and what the will of God is. And Father, that you will pour out upon every one of your people today. We know that everyone that's born again has the Spirit of God inside of them. We know that and believe that. We know that this is not necessary for salvation. And yet you said, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So, Father, we're praying today for that further work of the Holy Spirit, the indwing with power from on high, a greater, mightier work of the Spirit of God than many have ever known. Father, we ask you to pour out of your Spirit upon us today. And, Father, I believe you. I've been desiring this for such a long time that, Lord, even as it was on the day of Pentecost, when people will open themselves and begin to worship you and honor you and praise you, I believe that the Holy Spirit might fall upon them even as He did then spontaneously. And that many will just begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives them utterance. And we thank You for it, even as it was in the house of Cornelius. Lord, as they heard the Word of God and Peter speaking to them, even at that time, they began to speak with other tongues and glorify God. I pray for it. I pray, Father, today You'll put in every man's heart that this is not some option that they can just leave, forget about, but that they will press in and receive the fullness of the things of God. I pray today that every person here might be filled with all of the fullness of God in the name of Jesus. I want you to stand with me right now. I want you to lift your hands in the air. If you pray in the Spirit right now, I want you to just begin to pray out loud. You pray softly. You don't have to make it a noisy thing, but just pray in the Spirit. If you already have received the fullness, I want you to begin to do that. And if you haven't, I want you to open yourself right now so that you would be willing to. If you're willing to be filled, if you're willing to obey the Word of God, I want you to do the same thing, and I want you to just softly give voice to praise. But be careful that you don't just take over with your mind at this time. Because if you take over with your mind will bring forth nothing but English. But if you will just yield yourself to the Holy Ghost, yield yourself to the presence and the Spirit of God, I believe that even in a moment of time, you might all that who are not filled might be filled. And begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance. Begin to pray softly in the Spirit right now. Tashela makuhuli atasabande lakita. Rosapundre sekinta tatakata lokuti pasata. Nura dovombre kiteke la tokoshima takaine. Rosipotora saprande dedikita la dalabakuti kinai. Niporosu rabrande riskita la layatoro supronde murra bakashi ke la dalaba kushene roskita la site ke vato sala dalaba kuteki nara doro sotoro sotoro saprande. If you want someone to lay hands on you right now, wave your hand. If you want someone that's filled to lay their hands on you, just wave at them so someone near you can see you and begin to lay their hands on you. Oh, Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you will deliver us from our timidity, that you deliver us from the inability to express ourselves to you. We worship you and honor you in the name of Jesus. We honor you in the name that is above every name. If you're giving praise to God right now with your voice, just let the Holy Spirit begin to take over, and it'll come forth in a tongue that you never learned. If you will do this, I tell you for sure that it is God's will to fill you to overflowing, and that you may exercise yourself in all of the giftings of the Holy Spirit. Tamosi kitala tatokoshene. Ingrazundra sal de la capandere site vandra sande. The Holy Spirit showed me that some of you desire this very, very much. Some of you that you've had problems with it. If you yield yourself, you're not trying to learn something, you're not trying to say something someone else is saying. Toshal de la sike tolosim ratunde. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While your hand's in the air, I want to speak a blessing over you. If you've received today, keep going. Keep going. If you haven't received yet, keep seeking. Keep open to it. But now I want to speak this blessing. And now may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahweh lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you shalom in the name of Yeshua. And everyone said, Amen.